This morning, I'm reading from the Daily Light. I like this because it's King James Version only. It's not the newfangled versions. And September the 13th. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Good morning, Rioba. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, and my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory. So I have seen thee in the sanctuary. O everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come. Welcome aboard, Penny Billiot. Glad to have you with us this morning. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Good morning, Steve Fisher. Glad to have you with us. Whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. My blood is drink indeed. Eat, O friends, drink ye, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. Well, I'm glad that we have the living water. Good morning, Lee Rogers. Glad to have you with us this morning. I'm glad to have the living water. You know, many times our lives, we feel like we're in a dry and thirsty desert, don't we? And we feel like we need a drink of that cool, refreshing, living water. It's sent down from heaven. And this morning, I want to encourage everyone and remind everyone that God is faithful to His people. He is a faithful bridegroom. We're His bride, right? Like likened to the marriage. And the Lord Jesus Christ never divorces His bride because we have been adopted into His family. We've been predestinated unto adoption, Ephesians 1, 5 through 11. We've been predestinated into adoption. He's not going to unadopt us. I saw a post yesterday. Someone posted on Facebook, once saved, always saved is a lie. No, it is not. It is not a lie. Jesus Christ cannot lie. He said, I give unto them eternal life, not temporary life. And no man can pluck them out of my hand, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hands. It is not a lie. Everlasting life means everlasting life. And if Jesus Christ predestinated that you would be conformed to the image of His Son and be adopted in His family, He's not going to unadopt you. There's great comfort in that. There's great comfort in that. This morning, I'm going to read a few things out of this book again. Poems for Edification. This is the first volume of that. But I want to remind everybody before I read that if you think that if you think that your salvation is based upon anything within the creature, then you have it wrong. If you think salvation is based upon your performance or your good works, Scripture tells us the opposite. Good morning, Jesse Malangara. Scripture tells us it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. Scripture tells us it's not of works, lest any man should boast. We're unworthy to be recipients of the grace of God. Jesus Christ is the one who died on the cruel and rugged cross of Calvary. We did not. He's the one that paid the price for our sins. He's the one that rose again. He's the one that's seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. Hello, Jesse. He is the one who has done it all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, he died my soul to save. My lips will still repeat. Jesus paid it all. So when you look at this picture, this is this book that I wrote on the lies of free will. Do you control your own destiny? And I've said this many times, and I'll probably continue to say it till the day I die, but you see the commercial aircraft there, and you see how it's in that storm, right? In that major storm. God is over the wind and the rain and the sleet and the snow and the ice and the lightning. Do you think that pilot can control the weather? Do you think that pilot can control whether he safely lands or not in that storm? No. God is over the storm. And so, if you think that you're in control of your own destiny, you are not. You know, God is in control. We used to sing this song, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got you and me, brother, in his hands. He's got you and me, sister, in his hands. He's got the little bitty baby in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. You know? And I posted yesterday this little vessel, this little piece of pottery. And I put on there, you know, he's the potter, we're the clay. He's the one that has shaped the vessel in his hands. We don't shape the vessel. He shapes the vessel, doesn't he? And so he's the potter, we're the clay. And this morning, I want to read a few of these. I want to welcome Francis, Shasha, Shalom with us. This is called Great Expectations. I read a book when I was young called Great Expectations, but it wasn't spiritually motivated at all. Like many today who have unrealistic expectations, they're beating their head against the wall. You cannot force someone else to change. You cannot even change your own heart. So why don't you read the Bible and you will discover for a start that God is sovereign. This is not your part. Being resigned to God's will is the perfect admission that he brought your heart into submission. And you, like Christ, and you can say like Christ, not my will, but thine be done. This is the way for God's people to best honor his son. So the next time you get all bent out of shape and don't like the way things are going, remember God is in control, and if you're one of his children, he has redeemed your eternal soul. So praise him and give him thanks for giving his very life for you and causing you to be born again and giving you a home in heaven too. Well, there is a lot of things that are beyond our control. including them sending pop-ups on our computer. We can block pop-ups, so then it blocks other information coming into us. Same thing on our smartphones. It's amazing how the corporate world wants to try to invade our privacy. But then they want to keep us from freely speaking of the things of God, don't they? They being those who are not in Christ. I've entitled this The Greatest Family Reunion Ever. The Greatest Family Reunion Ever. Having a little glitch with my computer screen. Bear with me. What prompted this particular poem was Rosette, my wife of 44 years, and my son, Mark, who's now 44. We used to attend family reunions, and we had to stop that. Because what went on at family reunions on both sides of our family was not good. But I'm entitled this The Greatest Family Reunion Ever. I can see him now, and I'm ready, too. Christ splitting the eastern sky with his arms outstretched, the clouds so blue, saying, "Welcome home, my child. This reunion's for you." I can see him now and hear him say, "Today I removed all your scars and pain away. There will be no more vicious attacks on your soul. Welcome home, my child. You're eternally whole." I can see him now with all that love ushering me into the family above. They smile and welcome me with their open arms, and I see the beauty of my Savior's charms. I can see him now seated on his throne, announcing to heaven, "Larry's now home." They are worshiping and praising Christ's holy name, and at this family reunion I hear them proclaim, "All glory and honor we give to the Son, who is the one worthy his family has won. Each of us to God by the death on the cross. The marriage supper of the Lamb came with great cost." I can see him now smiling, not only at me, but Christ is delighted with his whole family. With the sacrifice he paid for them on the tree, this family reunion is for eternity. What a contrast this is to reunions on earth, where pride and sin and sorrow are birthed. I can hear him now say, "Larry, never again, because you're forever with me and my Father in heaven." I'm looking forward to that family reunion in heaven when we sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb, aren't you? When we're gathered around the table and have eternal communion with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The next one is entitled Memories for Eternity. There's an owner of a travel agency in Kansas City whose slogan is creating memories that last a lifetime. But this lifetime is over and it disappears like fizz. What about eternal memories and having the eternal suns shine? I like this slogan much better than his, to have the eternal suns shine. Is to have everlasting bliss and not just a space in physical time. We see beautiful scenes captured in pictures here on earth, but in heaven we won't need cameras to capture them at all. Heaven scenes will be eternally with us, not some pictures on the face wall. No sad pictures in heaven, no tears or remorse. It will be God's eternal sun shining on us. Time will never stop. It will never run its course. The Savior will be the light of that city where we will need no sun. It will be an eternal picture of communion with the three in one. It's always good to look forward to eternity, isn't it? Doesn't it give us solace to look at what we're going to experience to be in God's presence? Well, I want to read a couple more before we part company this morning, at least until we see each other in heaven. I like this one. Christ brings calm to the soul. Christ brings calm to the soul. Christ brings calm to my soul when the changes of winds blow, when it seems a mystery of which way I should go. Christ brings calm to my soul when questions vex my mind. I have always found that in Christ I can find comfort knowing He's in control. Christ brings calm to my soul when nothing seems to change. His cool waters of blessings He does for me arrange. Christ will bring calm to my soul when I'm lying close to death. May I praise His holy name when I take my last breath. Well, the last one I'm going to read this morning is called Destination and Choices. You know, our society is full of the lies that we control our own destiny. That's what it's all about. It's what the humanistic psychology teaches in school. This is called Destination and Choices. In our world, we are told we have the power of choice. My friend, we must be careful to evaluate this voice. In no instance is this concept true, and as it relates to eternal life, it's especially taboo. For God distinctly tells us in His Word that if we have chosen Christ, we were already one of His herd. My sheep hear my voice, and they do follow me. You see, He has chosen us from eternity. You shall become as God, knowing good from evil. Lucifer's deception to mankind was revealed. Since the fall, men have tried to become their own Savior, Redeemer, but not true for some. Even though Saul of Tarsus was running astray, God struck him down and said, "You're going my way." My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. God made the decision for His sheep's destiny. What a comfort this truth brings to our soul to know that our Father our future controls. Whenever we sin, He forgives His wayward lamb and reminds us in His Word, "I am that I am." He has put all things under Christ's feeet, including also the tares and the wheat. May we ever remind ourselves of this fact. The shed blood of Jesus is a solid contract. The contract is between the Father and Son. The work of atonement is already done. Let's give the credit to whom it is due. Our eternal salvation is from Him, not me or you. Well, may the good Lord be with you all this morning. I love you. I hope that you have a blessed day in Him. Continue in His Word. Read through the 6th chapter of John today and you'll get a great blessing. All that the Father hath given Him will come to Him, and all that come to Him I will in no wise cast out. God bless.